Welcome to our Huntsville City Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Amy Bailey, and I'm your podcast host and publisher of Huntsville City Lifestyle Magazine. In this podcast, we'll tell you the stories of this vibrant city and the people that call it home. Stay connected with us on Instagram at Huntsville City Lifestyle or read all of our publications online at citylifestyle.com. Hi, my name is Amy Bailey, and I'm your host with Huntsville City Lifestyle. And today we are talking to writer, musician, Mr. Huntsville, really, Bill Fowler.
Gosh. Hi, Amy.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
So there's so much to talk to you about, really. And you are always entertaining and full of wisdom. And so I thought, well, why don't we talk about all things Huntsville today?
Great. I'm ready.
So growing up in Huntsville, in comparison to how it is now, what are some things that you treasured growing up? And what are some things that you love now that you see happening in the city?
Yeah. Growing up here and growing up the way that I grew up in a retail family, you know everybody. I mean, you know everybody just by being in a small town like Huntsville, but it's really a small town within a small town. And it still is that in a lot of ways, where you're the same way. We're one degree of separation from really everything you need. The person, my eye doctor I went to high school with, my general practitioner I know from her family and so on. I mean, and that's a nice thing. It's also a kind of a handicap too. There's no such thing as being anonymous. Not that Sure. You want to be anonymous in all ways, but sometimes it's nice to be able to kind of go to a quiet corner, I suppose. And so we're losing a lot of that just because we're growing as a city. And I mean, we don't have traffic like most people have traffic, but you get the idea. The secret's out on what makes Huntsville what it is. And we're losing some of that. So I guess the contrast would be we're still a small town, but we're graduating out of that. And that's not such a great thing.
Tell us a little bit about the store that your dad owned. And I think you're probably one of the most stylish men in Huntsville. Well, without a doubt, really. And so how that played into your life and how you dress.
I was born into a retail family. My grandfather moved to Huntsville in 1914 and opened up a retail store with his brother about two blocks northeast of here called Fowler Brothers. And they called it a dry goods store back then, but it was really like the first department store. And so when I was born, 1973, my dad's store, which is a spinoff of that, was just menswear. And I was born the day after his 49th birthday. So I grew up in an environment where my dad really didn't have a whole lot to do with me. And frankly, as a 50-year-old, if I had an infant, I wouldn't want a whole lot to do with that either. But growing up in that environment, I learned about quality and I learned about customer service and just the raw hours it takes to have that lifestyle. And so in the middle of that, you get an appreciation for clothes and quality. And honestly, high school and college, your typical high school and college kid, male especially, I didn't care what I looked like. And in fact, I rebelled from that environment and just kind of did whatever, only to kind of rediscover how important style is as an adult, primarily as a professional, but then just as a person walking around town, especially in a town where you grew up in a retail environment and your father kind of carried this name.
Sure.
I just couldn't be a slouch.
Yeah. Now, where was your dad's store?
A couple of different places. So his warehouse, his distribution center would be now where the Scrubs place is at the corner of the Parkway and Governor's. That I grew up in that building. Went there every day after school and playing in and amongst the boxes and the big trucks and the workers who were doing the distribution. He had 16 stores around the Southeast. Nashville, Atlanta. He had a store in Lenox Square where I also grew up. So I spent a lot of time in Atlanta.
Yeah.
There, Miami and Orlando and Knoxville and so on. So yeah, his stores here in Huntsville were, like I said, down here at the corner where Fountain Parker Harbarger is now. That was his very first retail store. And then the Parkway was his primary location here. And then he had a store in Heart of Huntsville Mall and then a store at Parkway City Mall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. By Orange Julius, right?
By Orange Julius. Yeah, just down. So if you're old like me, it's where Camelot Music was and Chick-fil-A. And then right there on the corner was my dad's store. And he had two brands. One was Bill's Menswear, which was the traditional brand, and the other one was called London Transit. And so this would be back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
London Transit had the shag carpet and the acrylic piping and all the stuff, and that was aimed toward the younger kids.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of the old Parkway Mall, what was your favorite places to visit?
Oh, well, see, again, back to my relationship with my dad, which was distant at best. He would hand me 10 bucks and say, get the hell out of here. And so yeah. Play Palace, sorry, was the arcade.
Yes.
At Parkway City Mall, Orange Julius, and then KB Toys at the very end of the mall, mm-hmm. right next to Montgomery Ward. I mean, yes. You remember all these places.
I remember Montgomery Ward.
And the fact that today, I mean, I was probably 7 or 8 years old walking around that mall. You know everybody. You know yeah. the mall cop. Yeah. Of course, everybody knows my dad. And so you had a lot of eyes on you, but it kind of seems unheard of now to be just set free for hours and hours and hours by right. yourself and money in your pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
For hours.
Yeah.
I remember walking around that mall. So we've seen Huntsville grow. And what are some of your favorite places to eat, places to go, places to relax?
Yeah. Growing up here, and we have this long history of being this crossroads between the rare born and raised here and people who are not. And we have this reputation for being so accommodating and hospitable to those people who are not, unlike a lot of other southern cities who don't see outsiders as necessarily a good thing.
Sure.
We've always been that. We've always seen the value in that. However, that's also translated into this is a sea of chains. It's a sea of mm-hmm. restaurants that ship in food and unfreeze it and on you go.
Right.
And it's not because I make a conscious effort to do this, but we just happen to have a handful of people who know what they're doing with food. You know, Matt and Stephanie Mel, and then our neighbors down here with Eric yes. and Stephanie.
Stephanie and Eric. Yes.
Yeah. Commerce and Cotton Row. I mean, these are brands that have built themselves on service and quality. And I'm a creature of habit. And the older I get, the less I want to travel in the untraveled spaces around food. So those sure. are my go-tos. I mean, Purveyor is unbeatable. The Standard is the Standard.
I love the Standard.
You know, so when you go to a place now and they say, do you want your regular? Maybe it's time to
yeah.
get out a little more. But those are my places. Yeah.
And service. We have elevated our standard for service, too. I think before when it was chains, you got so many service industry people who it was a temporary job. And now to see the familiar faces every time I go to the Standard, to Poppy, to Le Petit.
Yep.
And these people are incredible and they're attentive and they're hospitable and they give you hugs. And the fact that with all these homegrown restaurants is also coming this new level of service is pretty awesome for us.
I mean, Kristen, calling her out specifically, I mean, arguably the best wine store in North Alabama because she cares.
Sure.
I mean, because like she really does care what happens. She has to. It's her place.
Right.
But she has a passion for what she does, and she's bringing in experiences from outside of Huntsville to here. And a lot of people find that familiar. It matters that she thinks that experience matters. And then another person we should call out, Matt Ortega, who makes the best cocktail. I mean, according to ale.com, the best cocktail in the state.
Right.
You can just tell that he cares what he does. And it seems like such a low bar that you walk into a place and that you're treated differently. And it's not that they consider you any more special than the next person, but it's because they care about what they're doing.
Last week, we had an event at the office. And so one of my dearest friends had flown in from Los Angeles, and we went to Le Petit for lunch. In that time span, I think about 8 people hugged me. And then the owner, Christian of Le Petit, mm-hmm. said hello and stopped and talked to Jennifer about where she was from. And I just had this incredible moment of gratitude for where I live and thought, wow, isn't that awesome that much friendship and camaraderie exist in this tiny little block? Because, of course, there are neighbors downstairs.
Totally. Again, I go back to, I think that's not manufactured. It's not like she sat over there and thought, you know, I better go do this. That's a natural way of taking pride in what you do and knowing that your customers, especially your regulars, really matter. Creating those friendships and those connections. When the Standard was opening, I was so excited about that place because I was moving back downtown. And I knew Jay and Valerie Chandler, who owned the building, and they were excited about it. And so I would go in there and see the progress, being a little bit nosy and also very excited about having a new place to eat. And Eric immediately invited me inside. I had my dog with me at the time. And it was like, we're on a first name basis before the doors even open. And again, that isn't manufactured. It's just good people doing good things that they really care about.
So tell us a little bit about your new project. Of course, you wear a lot of hats and you're very good at a lot of things, but probably the top two things are musician and writer. You and a friend, Judd Vowell, have a new project going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've been a musician all my life because when you live in the South and it's clear you're not going to be the quarterback of anything or a point guard of anything, you better come up with something. And so I started playing guitar when I was 11 years old, and I've always done that. So being a musician in Huntsville has not always been the easiest thing just because we haven't always had the audience or the environment for live music that we do now. So I've been in bands, you know, forever, and then Judd and I have been friends since high school. And, you know, at my age, you're probably not going to get a record deal, probably not going to do this for a living. So you find those places that are comfortable to you, and you're playing the music that you like. And it just so happens that other people like that as well. So he and I have been in a band called The Crash for 3 or 4 years now. We're on Spotify, and we have really proud of our music. But as a musician, you want to play. If you're an artist, you want to create something and show it to someone and for them to say, it's nice. And then you get to go home and feel good about yourself. So we split off as a duo because that's a much more, I guess, marketable kind of thing to go play at like Domain or Le Petit or whatever. And so, yeah, we're going to start doing that a little bit more. And again, it's just a hobby, but it's fun.
Awesome. So you're playing tonight, right?
Yeah.
Where are you playing tonight?
We're playing the Open Bottle in Madison.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And will you do more gigs like that? Are you also doing private events?
Again, I'm old enough to where I really don't want to do anything at 2 a.m. anymore.
Sure.
Anything. So we're getting to pick and choose the places that we play. So we've approached some of the places that we just mentioned that close early and have a low-key atmosphere. But we're not going to do
the bar scene.
I don't want to smell like cigarettes or stuff anymore.
I've got a 9:30 bedtime.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I want something I can.
I mean, you know, it's me, a bowl of cereal, and the History Channel come about 10 p.m.,
yeah.
You know, almost every night.
It's
so that's
nice.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could convince my younger self of that, but.
No, totally.
Like,
well, my younger self did enough of not that to now my older self is like, yeah, we're going to slow down a little bit. Yeah.
As far as some of your favorite memories of playing gigs, does one stand out to you?
Well, as a youngster trying to break into whatever the music scene was back in Huntsville, of course, Tip Top Cafe is like the pinnacle. I even wrote about this in the magazine a couple of months ago. You know, snuck in there and then played there as an underage person. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on being underage in a bar, but being on a stage where you see people that you idolize, I mean, driving and crying in REM and, you know, the kind of folks that used to pass through here.
Oh, I remember Whitney Allen and Juliet Hettinger kiss Kevin Kinney on each cheek.
I mean,
how we were there at like 15, 16 years old.
Yeah. We don't have to ask those questions. Let's just keep that for the B-roll. But probably the greatest experience I had playing music in Huntsville was we played Whistle Stop. It's been 6 or 7 years ago with a different band, but we opened for Driving and Crying.
Awesome.
And the last song that we played was a song, a really deep cut on one of their older albums that we kind of put into our set, again, to finish knowing that they were going to be coming on behind us. Just as a tribute, just kind of thing. And so I came off the stage. And again, we're playing at Whistle Stop. It's a barbecue festival. It was fine. But this is not like Carnegie Hall. And so there was plenty of people there. But it was kind of, you know, we did our thing. And we come off the stage. And there's Kevin Kinney. And he was holding up his phone. He had videoed our last song.
That's
and it's a
awesome.
Song called Powerhouse. And it's like this really hard-hitting, super rock and roll song. And he said, I walked over to him. Don't know him. Of course, seen him a million times.
Sure.
And I walked up to him and he said, hey, that was awesome. I just sent that video to my wife. And I'm like, I want to hug you.
I love it.
I won't because that would be weird. But that was like that moment when he's such my hero and having him do that was the ultimate compliment.
Who do you love listening to in town? Like, who do you make a point to go out and watch?
Well, there's a lot of them. But Dave Anderson is one of my great friends and, you know, arguably the most talented musician I've ever seen in person. I mean, really and truly, he's such a lovely guy. And that helps is that he's just such a great guy and talent. And we were able to play with him. My band was able to play with him over Thanksgiving. He would be my number one. There's a band called the Silver Silos, which is also very good. All of it is about original music. I respect people that can replicate music,
sure.
But I really respect people who take the time and have the artistic energy to create their own music and then get out on the stage in a place that doesn't necessarily appreciate that and still do it. That takes a certain level of, I don't know, I guess, bravery.
Courage. Yes.
Yeah.
What about music that is currently coming out of the South? Are there any bands that you just love that you instantly added to your playlist?
It's a complicated answer because it's going to be Jason Isbell, and it's Jason Isbell for a reason. And we have a problem in the South of identity, and we're losing a lot of our identity in terms of art and music and culture. And he is an unapologetic Southerner. Mm-hmm. And I love that about him. So it's not only about the music, which is very high quality, and his creativity, but it's about why his music exists, which I think is really important. So it would be Jason Isbell would be number one, but my musical taste is, I mean, all over the place. I'm a huge Lana Del Rey guy right now because my son dragged me to this concert and I cried real tears.
Right.
And she's incredible.
She's incredible.
I mean, yeah. So I'm all over the joint with music, but specifically Southern music, it would be. It's still and has been for a long time, Jason Isbell.
And I think he's probably one of the best poets as well.
I mean,
the lyrics that he's able to create are on another level.
They are. And, you know, he's getting divorced, which means that he's about to have a great album. Creativity is not born from pleasure. It's
well, you know,
pain.
I met him in December.
Oh, really?
In LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And not to make light, but a friend, when they found out about the divorce, said, "This is exactly the time that you met him in LaGuardia."
Okay. Not that you're directly responsible, but we're not
I
saying
think
you're
you
not.
You have something to do with this. But he was so humble and nice, and we share some mutual friends. And anyways, it was lovely to meet him because I admire him as well.
Well, and that's another thing that makes him so attractive is that he is so self-effacing, that he's not this rock star kind of guy. And he's one of us. You know, he's from down the street, practically, which makes him even more, that he means something to us. Yeah.
Okay, so I have to ask, how do you feel about Taylor?
I think Taylor is this generation's Michael Jackson.
Right.
I mean, without a doubt.
Right.
And even more so, I think. And thank goodness she hasn't taken a turn, at least not yet, into the weirdness that he turned into. But she's iconic.
And she is.
Even beyond that. And I love that people used to make fun of Coldplay, okay? And now Coldplay became like a punchline. But I was a huge Coldplay fan. I'm turning this back to Taylor Swift because the amount of creativity and just the amount of raw talent that is packaged in this person.
In this one individual.
And yes, she's very attractive. And yes, that she fits all the demographics. And yes, she's the total package. So from a musical production standpoint, she kind of checks all the boxes. And yes, she's a marketing engine on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are there people more talented than her? Of course. Are there people that are more worthy of her designations? And absolutely. But she is all of those things in one. And she writes her own music.
Yes.
Of course, some of this is handed to her. I would imagine she has a team now. But generally speaking, she's an incredible talent. And I love non-musical people who make fun of Taylor Swift have no idea what they're talking about.
So true.
Yeah.
I was a reluctant Taylor fan. And then I actually made myself listen to her more recent albums.
Yeah.
And I was like, these are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
That this is coming out of this woman. And it resonates very deeply, I think, with women too.
Right.
But yeah, I am now a huge fan to the point where my daughter is like, "Mom, really?"
You know, I'm going to say something. Another thing about Taylor Swift, which may sound weird and you may disagree, but she does not sell her sexuality.
Not
I mean,
at all.
She her outfits on stage are not like super revealing, and she's not out there presenting an example like Madonna did. Or like Janet Jackson did, or like some of her predecessors maybe were overtly selling their sexuality to compensate for something that they felt like they needed to compensate for. I think Taylor Swift is a great example of someone who is who happens to be a wonderful musician and happens to be a woman.
Well, and even her songs that are about love and relationships, they're very raw. Mm-hmm. They're very real.
Yeah.
They're not sugarcoating or over-sexual, like you
said. Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. You think she would ever come to Huntsville?
No.
I agree.
No.
What do you think about the Orion and the acts we're getting?
I mean, I think culturally, it's probably the most important thing that's happened in the city since Wernher von Braun got here. And I know that sounds like a way overstatement, but really and truly, I think the home run that the city has hit with that, and I'm giving the city credit because we couldn't have done it if we didn't have a fertile field in which to plant that and to bring Ryan Murphy and his folks in, is cannot be overstated. We still have our issues, of course, but the fact that that has become this jewel has created a cultural We've always had musical culture here.
Sure.
But it's created something that we can be proud of, man, and at a time when we desperately need something to be proud of. And I'm not just saying this city, I just mean this region.
Right.
It's a really big deal. And to go there and see sold out shows and the kind of shows that we're getting. I mean, Neil Young's coming. And for people who are my age, that's bigger than just a concert. That means something more than just, hey, this guy is playing here. It's like Dylan coming. It's important.
I'm super excited about Greta Van Fleet, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think to answer the question, it's not so much about music. It's about the importance of the establishment of something like that.
And you know, people are traveling from other states to come here for our music.
Right.
And that is something that we would have not heard of.
You've had this experience. You walk into a restaurant or you walk into something, you know, new in Huntsville, and you're like, well, this doesn't belong here. Or this is like fill in the blank city that you thought we would never be able to achieve something like that. I mean, that's overwhelmingly, that's the Orion. You walk into the Orion, you're like, there's no way this should be here. We don't deserve something like this, but apparently we do.
Who would you love to see come here that has not yet?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Again, my musical tastes are all over the place. I feel like I want to see Stevie Wonder one more time before he's gone. I would love to see Paul McCartney one more time before he's gone. I feel like these are people that are in the realm of possibility, these like legendary musicians that are kind of in the twilight of their career, but still got it.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson, you know, he was one that came through. I think that's caliber. So to me, I've still got a short list of folks that I haven't seen yet that I would love to see before they're gone.
In an article you wrote for the magazine, you talked about the importance of the venue ladder.
Yeah.
Tell us, as Huntsville residents, what are the key things we need to be doing to keep good live music here?
Yeah, I think we celebrate the dive bar. I think that's probably the most important thing we can do culturally as a city, is celebrate the things where we are not the target market. I mean, do not turn your nose up at the place that does smell like cigarettes and has a bunch of sweaty 20-year-olds on a Friday and Saturday night, because that is absolutely critically important to the life of our city, not just musically, but that is the lowest rung of the musical ladder, the venue ladder, is those places that you and I may have aged out of, but it can't just be all central heat and air and martinis and margaritas and stuff. Yeah, that would be the start. The Orion is a really important achievement, and beautiful venues like Stovehouse are critically important to our life as a musical town. But so are those, the dirt floors and the terrible sound and the, questionable environments.
Have you seen our town troubadour?
I don't think I know who the town troubadour is.
Well, I don't know who he is, but we definitely have one. And sometimes he's in Big Spring Park.
Okay.
And then sometimes he's right down here on the corner in the square.
Okay.
And so I'm so curious who he is. Okay. But I got so excited.
That's a great example. We probably just don't need to call the cops on this guy every time he rolls out. You know, he may be, you know, someone who's up and coming, or maybe not. Right. But even then, it's like, those are the kind of things we need to celebrate, is, again, just the things that we are not necessarily the target market for, but have a critical role to play in.
Yeah, and seem to check this little box. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, music-wise, we've got this.
Right, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Well, Bill, thank you so much.
Oh, Amy, thank you. It's a pleasure.
How can people keep up with you and find you?
People do not need to keep up with me or find me. I am not worth either one of those things.
If they want to know all about your style and your music.
Well, that's so kind.
You've got to have a social handle.
I do, and it's all private. I am on Facebook reluctantly. I'm on Instagram extremely reluctantly. But I'll just say that Judd and I will be playing out. And The Crash plays at the Bell at Stovehouse every blue moon. But Judd and I will be playing obscure cover songs from your childhood at a bar near you.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our Huntsville City Lifestyle podcast. Stay connected with us on Instagram at Huntsville City Lifestyle or read more at citylifestyle.com. I hope you enjoyed learning more about our city. See you soon.